Episode 449, After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Can you count? Can you give a quick count?
Fuck off.
I'm using that.
It's what you do. Like, that's what you do. Like, you, I sit there and it's like, you act like such a baby yesterday. And when I go and listen to the show, you edit it all out just to make yourself look like an absolute rock star every single time.
What did I edit?
Like, you're literally a child. That's okay.
What did I edit out?
No, that's what I edit out. Let's go. God, I love seeing you with a smile on your face, though. Hey, bud.
It's tough to come on here and satisfy an audience with manufactured positivity. We're too negative, they say. That's the, you know, you guys always find something to complain about. Are you kidding me with that?
I am confused by that. What do they want us to say? Do they want us to say everything is okay? Do they want us to say that the coaching is okay? Do they want us to say that all the players that are on the ice that they're watching are all doing great? What do they want us to say? Do they want us to say that the GM is knocking it out of the park with all this stuff that he's doing? What do they want us to say? 13 years of missing the playoffs, and I'm a grumpy old man. Is that it? What do they want us to say? What do you think we should be saying, Petey? The team's turning in the right direction? Well, how many times in 13 years have we turned in the right direction?
7, 8.
Yeah. I like the Lindy hire. I can say this, that I didn't like the Lindy hire when it was done. When they announced it, I was shocked. Didn't kind of see that coming. I thought that they would have done their due diligence. I thought it would have taken a couple weeks. I thought that you would be flying in certain candidates that you're very interested in that fit the mold that you're looking at.
The pedigree,
the leadership, all of that. I think that takes time. That takes a long time, because if you're interested in, let's just say that hypothetically you talk to 12 candidates, you're going to be talking on the phone, just going to have a little talk with them and all of a sudden make your decision on that. Are you going to be having guys sit down face to face where these guys are coming in and they're going to present to you their vision and how they're going to coach this team and every little thing that goes along with that? And that doesn't happen on a phone. The phone call is, are you interested in the job? Yes, I am. Okay, I'll see you here Tuesday. Be here at 12 o'clock. We'll sit down and we'll talk. Then that's your first initial conversation about what you're looking for and maybe what he's looking for. And then you have another conversation, maybe a week later, a couple days later, and you continue to narrow it down to people that fit exactly what you're looking for. So when Kevin Adams comes on the press conference and says that he talked to double-digit coaches in 6 days and they pick Lindy Ruff, I think it's very clear that is a horseshit comment, and Lindy Ruff was in the fold long before this.
Yeah.
And well, at the end of the day, I'm happy to see Lindy back. I know how good of a coach he is. He's going to be a tough coach, and it's not just about being tough and mean and stuff. No, the players are going to understand very quickly what accountability is, not only for themselves and how they hold themselves accountable. It's going to be how Lindy holds himself accountable. And then the overall accountability in the room as players, they're not friends they are friends. This is a very, very happy environment here in Buffalo, but there has to be accountability between the players and how they practice and how they play.
Yeah. Well, so I share the same sentiments as you, but maybe a little bit of a different way. I like the story of Lindy coming back. We know about the accountability change and the environment change, but what about the change on the ice?
What do you mean by change on the ice?
with Lindy's coaching style, which players do we see benefiting the most from what they're going to get from him? Let me reword that.
You don't have to reword it. I get exactly the gist that you're trying to throw at me.
I don't like how I said it.
Okay, but I would say if you're looking at individuals, I can name you individuals. If you're looking at the most important thing is I think
individuals.
But again, this team's been individual based for a while now. Everybody's been individually trying to work on their game, develop, grow, make mistakes, understand what
this about statistically. I'm talking about like taking their games to another level.
Okay. Right? I think every single player on the team is going to take their game to another level. And the reason why I say that is Lindy is going to implement a system that everybody is going to understand. And whether you choose to do what he says is when you're going to have an issue with Lindy. It's going to be very clear. It's going to be clear cut what he wants and how he wants players to play. Now, I think there's going to be players on this team that are going to struggle with how he coaches, in a sense that he's going to be demanding. He is going to want everyone to buy in because this team's not winning unless everyone buys in.
Well, the purpose of the question wasn't necessarily about the overall team success. It was like which players can take their game to the next level. He said next level a million times. It's almost like that's their catchphrase now. You know, I feel like that was Impact Fitness too. Take your game to that next level or whatever. And it's like next level. That's okay. That's just cliche shit. I mean, which players are we going to actually see get better? Like Owen Power, for instance. Let me use him as an example. I'm not picking on him. Take away the fact that you suggested trading him the other day.
Yes. And I believe that too.
Where should we expect the most improvement in Owen Power's game with Lindy Ruff as the coach?
I think we're going to see a very similar Owen Power next year, with a slight bit of more strength to his game, a little bit better understanding of the players that he plays against. But we're ultimately going to see a very similar Owen Power. You're not going to change Owen Power overnight. Owen Power will change on his own. He does not need a coach to alter his game.
Do you see him averaging the same amount of ice time?
Or more, yes. He's not going to change his game. Owen Power is going to change his game with maturity and understanding on his own. But Owen Power is not someone that I would sit here and say his game is not good. Owen Power was +8 this year on a pretty shitty hockey team. There's a lot of things that Owen Power does very well. There's a reason why he went first overall. I don't think he needs to completely alter his game. I don't.
Dahlin.
I think Dahlin's the least of our worries. I think if he continues to play exactly what he's doing right now, I am absolutely fine with his game.
Bowen Byram?
Yeah. Same thing. I don't have a problem with his game. I think you're going to want more out of Samuelson. And
that
hopefully
was my next guy on the list.
Hopefully he can be he can just get healthy, because when he does play, he is a very, very, very good defenseman. And if he can stay healthy, he is going to grossly help this team. Connor Clifton had a very solid season for a poor team this year. Joki Haru had one of his better seasons. You know, all plus players, these two last guys. The goaltending, it was a disgrace at the start of the year. I think Lindy's going to identify as number one, and he's going to play him like a number one, which might give us 5 more wins than what we had last year with our 3 goalie tandem, which is an absolute joke.
Makes me wonder if they are going to go get a veteran goalie and leave Devin Levi in the minors for one more year.
Very possible.
Okay, I don't want to focus on that too much. Yeah. Does he do anything for Dylan Cousins?
In what regard? Like, what is he going to do that's going to change Dylan Cousins into something that is just like, holy shit, man, wow. Dylan Cousins is a Bergeron type player, or a Getzlaff. You brought him up yesterday, which was a
I mean, this is the whole point, is that we're easy to play against. I thought that's why Lindy Ruff was coming here to be the coach, because we were easy to play against. That's what I'm looking. These are the guys that I'm looking for more out of, for Lindy to come in and add more. Like, I'm not bringing up Jack Quinn. He's gonna have his issues with Jack Quinn. He's gonna have his struggles with Paterka. But those are different types of players. I don't expect them to do the same thing. Jeff Skinner, it's gonna be very interesting if he decides to use Jeff Skinner as the highest paid player on the team that does not give a shit about playing defense.
Or forecheck, or hit,
okay,
or block a shot.
I was just,
or win
I was
a battle
just naming,
in
I was
the
just
zone.
Naming one of the more important
well,
ones.
He's going to have an issue.
Okay? He's going to have an issue, but I don't want to focus on that, because you've already torn into the Between Two Ferns and the goal song. So his game alone, I'd be very curious to hear that. Tage Thompson, what's he going to expect out of Tage Thompson? Has more to give as well.
Yeah, I would think that you would want him to use their bodies. I think
that's
Alex Tuck, you know, Tage Thompson needs to hit more. Dylan Cousin needs to hit more. They all need to hit more. Jordan Greenway needs to have a conversation. I think he is a big, big, big man that skates pretty well, that has pretty good skill set, that is an asset for our hockey team. But Jordan Greenway, who usually puts up around, you know, 8 to 10 goals a year, that usually puts up around 25, maybe if he's lucky, 30 points a year. We need him to have a few more majors. You know what I'm saying? Like a few more fisticuffs.
And I think he could be an 18-goal guy, 40-plus points. I think he has that in him. And I think a more physical brand of hockey would help him get to that point.
Well, it would give him more respect in the league. I think Jordan Greenway scares the absolute bejesus out of most players in this league. There's a very small percentage that aren't afraid of Jordan Greenway. He needs to be more physical. He needs to understand his role. Like, Jordan Greenway plays a game because he wants to be in a top six role. He wants to be on the power play. Well, he's not a power play guy. They're not consistent. That's why a lot of these players are in the situation that they're in. They're golfing right now or on vacation. There's a lot of these players that need to be held accountable when they're not doing the right thing. Lindy is going to flat out tell them.
Zach
we
Benson.
Need more. Like, I don't think any player on this team necessarily is going to explode under Lindy. Like, I don't think there's one player that's going to be like, holy jumping, I cannot believe this is like
a different player out here.
I'm
forcing myself to be more optimistic than that.
It's not about being optimistic. Lindy Ruff is going to help this team play as a team, which is going to garner more wins. They're going to be structured. They're going to play with speed. They're going to play with skill. They're going to tinker around a little bit. Don Granato didn't want guys hitting. He wanted to keep the flow and the speed of the game. Well, go and look at the NHL playoffs right now. Go and look at the NHL playoffs, and you don't need to say anything more. Toronto-Boston last night, they had 68 to 65 hits. Dallas played Vegas Golden Knights, 55 to 53. LA played Edmonton, 55 to 53 in hits. These are teams, the best teams in the league. They're all hitting. They all play physical. That's just how they do it. Lindy will change the style in which these guys play. I'm going to tell you right now, these guys come out and get blown out in the first period, 3-0. It is going to be addressed immediately. And I'm going to tell you right now, the next day is not going to be fun. It is not going to be, it's not going to be fun coming to the rink. You remember those days.
Yeah, but I don't believe it's the same way.
What do you mean it's not the same way?
I don't know that he does it the same way. I think he alluded to
that. It's going to be a little bit different because the players are different. But I still believe that there's accountability that's going to happen inside the locker room from the player to player on this team that grow up a little bit and hold guys accountable inside the locker room. Lindy can't do it all the time.
Zemgus Girgensons, is he going to be back? He is
no,
a Lindy Ruff.
He will not be back. There's a zero chance that Zemgus Girgensons will be back on this team. Peyton Krebs, I think, is going to be on the move next year. I think he'll be on another team. You know, he's a good young player in this league. Hasn't found his position on the Sabres. The Sabres need to get better. They need to actually get some more experience. And I think the third line center most definitely will be a new player coming in. Has to be. And I don't see Peyton Krebs as a fourth line player. So he most likely will be used in some sort of trade bait.
Didn't purposefully, but it just kind of happened. Eric Robinson and Tyson Jost.
They won't be back, so it's no sense in even.
Neither one of them.
Neither. It's not even 1,000%. Not even close. We don't even need to discuss those two players.
Ouch.
Do you think they're going to be back?
I don't know what the plan is. That's not me playing it safe. I don't know what the plan is.
Well, how about this? Let me ask you.
Robinson's fast.
If you were the GM,
fast, he could
would
kill
you
penalties.
Bring them back?
I'm not against Robinson. Tyson Jost, no, we don't need him. No offense. But Robinson, as a 12th, 13th forward, he's a utility guy. Not at one point. What's he making?
1.6.
No, not there. 800, one way.
800 one way, I would bring Robinson back.
That's it.
I would not be bringing Zemgus Girgensons.
800
back.
One way.
Zero chance.
Okay. Zemgus, I don't. Zemgus, if they brought Zemgus back, I don't have an issue with it either way. Depends on how much. But for
I have
his
an issue
sake.
With it. I have an issue with it because there's players in this league that you can get for the same price that you paid Zemgus Girgensons this year, and they would be 100 times better.
It comes down to what he makes. But also for his sake, I think he could use a change of scenery for his own sake.
For our sake. He does not fit.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that about
fit the bill. He does not fit the bill, what we need.
Well, we'll see what happens with Zemgus. Because I think Lindy's going to have a lot of say in that. I just about drove off the road when I heard Lindy was back coaching the Sabres. And my first thought was, if I crash my car right now, are the Sabres responsible? Wasn't a chance I was willing to take. Had I got hurt crashing my car that day, I would have called Salino Law. If you've been hurt in a car crash or need a personal injury attorney, call the Yates. Call 888-888-8888. Call Salino Law. Good morning, Thomas.
Morning, boys. It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah. Let me know when you want to exit out of this one. I'll get you out as fast as possible.
Oh. Well,
Rivs is in quite a mood today. I can't figure out if it's me or if it's just something else, but
probably his golf game sucks, and then it's a combination of a bunch of the other things.
I don't think he cares about his golf game. I think there's something else going on over there.
Why, it's been something going on in Sabres land. Have I missed something?
Yeah, right. You got mentioned in the press conference the other day.
Did I? Didn't listen to it.
What did you think of the news?
Honestly, not surprised at all. Just put it that way. I think, you know, I did see some of the comments that Kevin made at the end of the year, and it sounded to me like he already knew who he was going to hire the way he was talking. And it sounded a lot like Lindy.
I said that, and Craig's like, no. To me, it just reeked of Lindy. And I was like, it's already
same
decided.
Thing. Yeah, I saw. Yeah, like I said, I saw a few.
See, I didn't want to believe that. I didn't want to believe those sentiments that a coach has picked and our season's done, and we haven't made the playoffs for 13 years, and we're not going to go do an absolute massive search and be patient to make sure that you get the right leader, commander in chief of this team moving forward. I refuse to think that it was already done.
Okay. Well, if all that right. Makes okay, well, sleep well.
Then you side differently than Petey and I guess.
That's okay. I don't hate the move.
No, I don't hate it either. I think
I don't hate it. I just hate that it was done so quickly.
That's I don't even hate that part. Just come out and say it, that he's a guy that we identified early and he was our guy.
Or say it right away. Just say it at the press conference. Lindy Ruff's going to be the head coach. We're going to have a press conference with him on Friday.
No, I don't hate the choice at all. I think he's going to get a lot out of this group. And it's just, to me, more interesting than the Lindy hire is going to be, who is Lindy going to hire with him, right? That, to me, will be more interesting than the actual hire of Lindy.
Doug Huda. That's the kind of assistant coach that I think Lindy needs to have.
Yeah. I mean, I've had Doug multiple times. I had him in Rochester my first pro year, and then I had him in Detroit. I mean, what an awesome guy, right? The passion, the energy every day he brings, but yet teaches, demands things, but just an awesome guy.
Bring Cunny back.
Can you even find Cunny?
I saw Cunny.
You did?
Yes. I saw Cunny. He was here in Buffalo. I asked him to come on the pod. I'm like, honey, can you come on the pod? He goes, you know, his raspy voice. He's like, Petey, I'm not a podcast guy, but thanks for offering. Love to hear from you anytime, though. I'm just like, oh, man. God, I love Randy Cunnyworth.
Mm-hmm.
Right after the press conference, I argued in favor of Lindy. I just couldn't believe they fucking did it. I mean, that was basically what it came down to for me. I mean, yeah. I wanted Craig Berube. But I argued the reasons for Lindy, and I said I'm preparing everybody for it. And I think then I said I didn't hate it then either.
I don't think it's a bad hire. I think Lindy has involved, like, he's, you know, over the years, I think he's had younger teams in Dallas and Jersey, and he's had some success there. So we'll see.
How did he impact your game the most? Because he mentioned in his press conference how hard he was on you. He mentioned you and mentioned some other guys, because I think that's known. That's out there.
Yeah. No, I think he make me a better player? For sure. Just because I think he is his hockey IQ as far as coaching is off the charts, and his in-game adjustments, you know, now looking back, or even back then, was it great to get, you know, that treatment all the time? It probably didn't help my confidence all the time. Did I want to go to the rink every day knowing I'm gonna get it? That's not fun either. But at the same time, it was more old school, and I was okay with that because I grew up, even in Europe, with coaches of demanding certain things. So I was used to, you know, getting yelled at and being held accountable and all those things. But at times it would have been nice just to, yeah, I know I turned it over there. I got it. Let me figure it out on my own here instead of being in my ear all the time. But whatever. I wasn't the type of player where I was like, you know, I remember, I'm not going to say the name, but one of our teammates, you know, just, this was early my years in Buffalo, just came up and just said, fuck him. Go shove it up his ass. Because that's what he wants anyways. I'm like, yeah, that's true. That's exactly what he wants. Like I've always said, it wasn't always fun going to the rink, knowing I'm going to get it and I'm going to be the main point of it. But overall, I still think, as far as his speeches, his way to prepare his teams and everything like that, he was top notch.
How do you think he is now?
It's way different now. Just look at his last stint in New Jersey. You think Jack Hughes would be playing the type of hockey he's right now 20 years ago with him?
Yeah.
That's the best example I can give you right there.
So what is he going to do for this team? Kevin Adams identified him as the guy. What is Lindy going to bring to this young group moving forward?
Well, I think the biggest thing he's going to bring is accountability. And the one thing I think he's still showing, even though I know he's better away from or after games and the day after games about communicating and that, I know he's way better at that than when we had him. So, you know, that's where I think he evolved the most. But as far as in-game, if you don't get it done, you'll still sit. And he's shown that in Jersey with, you know, benching Timo Meyers on an 8-year deal. So those are the things that I don't think is ever going to change with him. And it shouldn't change.
Is that the reason why he's fired, though? Is that the reason why he got fired is sitting Timo Meyer?
I don't know the reasons.
You know what I'm saying? Fired. Like,
I get it. Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of the reasons that he didn't get, you know, how it's because when Lindy did get fired, I'm pretty sure Timo Meyer went on and had a pretty good finish. Yep. But that's normal, right? Anytime there's a coaching change, there's some guys that benefit from him and some guys that don't, because every coach has their favorite players. You guys know that. And it should be like that. Your best player should have a little bit more rope to make a mistake or two to figure it out. And if they don't, then you got to rein it back in. So every coach in the league, most good coaches in the league have that same thing.
So, hey, I got to ask you, you ever make a play in a game and be like, oh, that's going to be on the video tomorrow, right in the middle of the shift?
Have I ever? It happens every game, Petey.
Oh, I remember there were times you just don't get that puck out at the blue line. You're like, oh, and then you get jammed in your own zone.
There's times where I'm like, I can make this play right here and we can get a great scoring chance. But if this puck gets picked off and it doesn't happen, I'm probably not going to play anymore. So in my head, while I'm skating up the ice, I'm processing in my brain. I'm like, should I dump it? Should I make a play? I don't know.
But was that a good thing?
So what did you do? Did you make the risky play?
I made the play most 80% of the time. Yes.
Did that not hinder you from playing the way you wanted to play?
At times it did, for sure. But at times it did teach me that there is a time and a place to not make a play all the time. So it does. There is some good with the bad, 100%. But it wasn't, my problem was never so much the in-game. Was there times in games when I'm like, God, but why am I sitting again? For sure, but whatever. It is, you move on. I got to get better, which I think I did. It was more, like I said, after the games or the day in between the games that were where he was real tough, which he is. I know he has 100% gotten better. So like I said, overall, I had a feeling that it was going to be him after listening to Kevin, and I don't hate it. I really don't. I think it's a young team, and he's gonna get a lot more out of them. Is it going to work? Who fucking knows, right? Who knows?
Is there a player in particular or players in particular on this roster that you think that he can get more from?
I don't know about a certain player, but I think as a group, they're going to play probably a bit differently. I mean, I do have a few actually players in mind that I think will play differently. But again, to me, it's going to come down who is going to be there to help him out, right? Like you mentioned a Doug Huda. If Doug Huda comes in, I guarantee you Owen Power is going to play a bit differently, because Doug Huda was a stay-at-home defenseman who wants people to box out and play a certain way. So I assume it all depends, right? I mean, so that will be, like I said, right from the get-go, will be interesting to see who else he's going to bring in. Or like you already said at PD the other day, maybe Kutchie's back.
Gosh.
Maybe Teppo Nieminen will be back.
Jeep's available.
I mean, so look at all these options.
How long do you think it's going to take Lindy to do his search on his assistants that will help him through this journey?
3 more days.
It all depends, right? I'm sure he's got a few people in mind, and maybe some of those people are still in the playoffs. Every head coach typically, even look at Patrick Roy. He came in, right? Lou fired a head coach. Patty comes in, keeps Doug Huda, and I don't know who the other assistant is, McLean, I think. But 2 weeks later, he brought in one other guy. That was his guy. I think every head coach brings at least one guy that it's their guy they're comfortable with, right? They know their systems. They know how they tick each other. They know when, hey, it's time for you to yell and me to walk away type of deal.
So I know who it's going to be. I know who would do take the job.
I know. Jeep.
No. Former University of Saskatchewan head coach Mike Babcock to come and be the assistant coach.
That's really going to work. Yeah. Babcock would probably make more than him, though. He did get a payout by Columbus.
Yeah, he's got Columbus. Yeah.
That guy's a genius.
Riv, are you done with the Lindy conversation, or is there more there?
It's your show, bud. I'm just hanging on here.
You are. It's been nice. How did the golf finish the other day? Riv's, Pete, I told you, Riv's FaceTime me from the rough, and then he had this beautiful shot. What was it, 245 yards over the
245 rescue club, knocked it over the green.
So not walk away deal. With bogey?
I had a double on that. I had a double on that.
A double.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, I lost my concentration when I started talking to you.
So what'd you do? You chipped it on and then three-putted?
No, I flubbed two chips.
Hey, it's early in the year.
Oh, yeah. Look, you know what? I hit the ball extremely well. I three-putted every single green on the course. Like, yeah. Every single one. So, yeah. Oh, well.
I'm a horseshit putter, too.
Here's a few things that are coming up at Seneca. NHL playoffs are here, and if you've lost NHL bets, there's a chance to win back the payout.
Submit lost NHL parlay sports bets for a chance to win back the payout up to $500. Drawings on April 30th, May 14th, May 28th, June 11th, and June 25th. Check the website for more details.
Jay Farrell will be coming here April 26th and 27th.
That's 8 p.m. at the Seneca Niagara Bears Den. Also, here's a country band that everybody loves. They even mentioned Buffalo in one of their biggest hits. Big and Rich will be here at Seneca Allegheny Resort and Casino Saturday, May 25th. And the last one, and Craig's favorite, the Seafood Spectacular at Seneca Buffalo Creek.
Yummy.
And that's available every Thursday. For information on everything else going on at Seneca, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
What are you thinking of these playoffs, Thomas?
They've been good so far. Entertaining. A lot more goals than I expected. The one team I feel horrible for is the Dallas Stars. I mean, you're the best team in the West, and you get Vegas, and they roll out this team. It's like, you gotta be... That hurts. I think that hurts, right? Because you play your ass off for 82 games, and I know the parity is good, but to get that team in the first round after you clinch the West.
Like, there's no real pushover in any, like, the only team that I would say that does not deserve to be in the playoffs times 10 would be the Washington Capitals.
Correct. But on my point from Dallas, right? Like, it changed in the game 82. They were going to play the Kings, and then the Kings ended up winning. Vegas right. Loses, and they flip-flop. You don't think Dallas would be up 2-0 probably right now? Or at least 1-1 against the Kings?
100%.
100%, yeah. Big difference.
Fast hockey, too. Fast.
Yeah, it's a great series.
Enjoyable to watch. I'm talking all the series. I've watched all of the series. Like, watching Colorado play Winnipeg is just awesome. It is just amazing to watch. Watching even Boston against Toronto, Florida against Tampa Bay, these games are so enjoyable to watch. And they're super physical. I was saying to Petey that the Toronto-Boston game last night, Vanner, the hits were 68-65. Then I checked the next game. Vegas played Dallas, 55-53 in hits. LA Edmonton, 55-53. Like, it's very physical. Like, they are going out of their way to be fast and physical. They finish every single check.
Look at Winnipeg, wear you Colorado. Down. They didn't play last night, but those games have been wild too.
Yeah.
You know,
all the games have been very physical.
All the games have been good. I think that most series is exactly kind of where I thought they would be at. The only thing, I think the Islanders, you know, they're down two games.
They dropped
the looking ball at those games, even game one, they were the better team until the last 15 minutes.
That series
of the third
should
period.
Not be 2-0.
No.
And I'm actually pissed off about that because I picked the Islanders and I picked them with conviction too. I picked them with, like, you know, the same reasons that I picked Florida last year going up against Boston in the first round.
I heard you say that, which is completely outrageous. Florida has big time players. To me, the Islanders, they got a bunch of good players. They don't have the same players as Florida. The one thing, Petey, I don't think you're crazy by picking the Islanders. I just think it's a completely different team than Florida because they got, maybe the goaltending is the same because they got two goalies, you know, Russian guys just like Bob that can steal games. But it's a veteran team, good defensemen. Like they like I said, it should be 1-1 or maybe even 2-0 the Islanders. So they could have won. They can still win the series, but a different way than Florida, in my opinion.
I was pissed when they lost game two. Would they have a 3-1 lead?
It's 3-0.
But that's why Craig said Carolina is one of the best teams in the league.
They are if they stay healthy, right? I don't know. I mean, now that Pesci's out, that's going to hurt them a bit.
Huge, huge. Top four defenseman. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, Carolina, I think, is built to win a cup as long as Freddie Anderson plays like he's been playing.
If you don't stay healthy, you're in big trouble. Like Florida Panthers losing Sam Bennett,
that's a big loss.
Break his arm? Did he break his wrist? Are they not announcing that?
Well, they're saying upper body at least a week.
Bad spot. Like, there's no padding there.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah.
I mean, they came out and said, you know, not as bad as they thought originally.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If I would have to assume, it's probably a hairline fracture.
Hairline fracture.
Did
yeah.
you see Bob's save the other night?
Unbelievable.
Just.
He's got some Hasek in him. You know, I played with him in Columbus. The reason why Bob is a two-time Vezina winner and the shit he does out there is because him, Ryan Miller, and Carey Price are the three goalies I played with. They're just built differently, and they practice like animals. Like, you know, those 3-0s drills, you know, the regroup to warm up, and the players hate it, and they just kind of flow around, and we just tic-tac-toe and go backdoor and piss off the goalie, and Millsy would always paddle it out or at least try to and never give up. Well, that's what Price and Bob did. Those are the three goalies that most goalies, they see the puck go backdoor in practice. They're just like, fuck you guys. Not those guys. They would say, fuck you guys, but then try to glove it. So when I saw that save, I'm like, well, that's the shit he doesn't. He competes in practice. Just it came natural to him, right? Just doesn't give up, but unbelievable.
How's Bob as a person?
He's like, awesome. He's quiet. He'll have fun. He'll hang out, and he's not a rah-rah guy, but no, he was great. He was, you know, has his quirky warm-ups just like most goalies do, but no, he was great. He liked his wine on the plane. He's, you know, him and Panarin were both.
Because he had a year this year. 58 games played, his goals against average and his save percentage were, I mean, one of the top in the league. And you started to see with him that you thought there was going to be some drop-off. There was a couple years there in Florida where there was talk about them, you know, buying out or this, that, and the other. And now it's like, what just happened to him?
Last year's playoffs, in my opinion.
Right? No, I don't think so. He has shown before that he can play at a high level.
Yeah, we knew,
I think
we
what
knew
changed
it,
where Florida was so smart that, I mean, what did you say? He played 58 games?
58 games this year, yeah.
That's a lot of games, but it's not 70 games, right? Like back in the day, like I still am convinced if Millsy doesn't play 70-some games back in the day, we probably would have a cup right now. Goalies, it's say what you want. I think you need two goalies, but you need the backup to get you 20-some games. To have that starter rest, let him do his thing. Not so much physically, but mentally.
Right.
So these guys are ready.
I'm going to go back to what I said. We all knew what Bobrovsky was as a goaltender because he has those Vezina trophies. He has that contract. I mean, he was obviously signed to that deal for a reason because he was obviously the best goaltender in the league at the time. But last year in the playoffs, they weren't even playing him at the end of the year. They were rotating some other guy last year with him. And then he goes into the playoffs, and he has lights out a couple. I don't even think he started in that Boston series, did he?
He didn't start in the Boston series because I think at the end of the regular season, he got sick. And he lost some weight, and then who was it that came in? Was it Lyon?
Lyon, yes.
Yeah, Lyon came in, and he, you know, he got them in the playoffs. He played great
like
the down
last
the stretch.
15 games or something like that, and he was lights out.
Yeah, or 10 games or whatever it was, but he played great down the stretch. So obviously, as a coach, if you have a hot goalie, you're going to keep him in there, which. We can talk about this later, the Boston situation, but in this instance, they played the hot goalie. Not that Bob was bad. Bob was sick and had to get himself healthy again. And then once they made that switch, he took over.
Well, I thought his season this year, Thomas, was a continuation of his playoffs last year. I think because I think we could probably all agree if Florida beats Vegas last year in the playoffs, he's probably your Conn Smythe trophy winner.
Well, he should have been, correct. But Kachuk probably would have got it. But now talking about this goaltending situation, let's shift to that Boston-Toronto. Do you think this is crazy that they're switching game one to game two to game three?
Yes.
Rivers is shaking his head. He kind of likes what they're doing.
I don't have a problem with it because I think their goaltending tandem is unlike any other in the NHL. It's not like Connor Hellebuck in Winnipeg and then who's their backup? And you have, Dallas. You know, they have clear-cut number ones. The problem with Boston, and it's not a problem, it's actually great, is they have clear-cut two number ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I agree with that.
So both goaltenders have had success this year. Allmark played 40 games this year.
Yeah, I know that they split every game, I think, since early February.
Right. And do you think that that's something where they're looking at, they just want to make sure that they stay and keep these guys fresh?
I mean, you can say that to yourself, but at this time of the year, if Swayman's my starter and he wins game one, he's playing game two. If he loses game two, then I would pivot to Allmark. I would just be like, boys, you guys are both awesome. You've split every game. You got us again.
Yeah. You're playing till you lose. We're going to start with Swayman, and you're playing till you lose.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I would do. If the guy wins two in a row, then he's going to play the third game. He loses game three, game four. Let's put in Allmark. See if he can get on a run. But this, no matter what happens, I'm out the next game. But that's interesting. But hey, I actually thought Toronto was going to win this series, and they might still win it. But Boston just gets it done. It's absolutely crazy to me.
I think Boston's built properly.
I think they have, I looked down the middle. They're not that strong.
Well, what do you mean they're not that strong? They have some pretty damn good players. Charlie Coyle is a damn good hockey player and plays the right way. His point totals have gone up significantly from when he was the third line center and you had Bergeron and Krejci, right? So you have to have guys that can step up. And I think Boston has had guys step
Pavel
up.
Pavel Zacha has turned him. What a trade, like, to bring him in a few years ago.
Right. And now he's playing as what? The number one center?
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'm saying, though. I love Charlie Coyle's game. I played with him here. God, I keep saying I played with too many teams. But yeah, he stepped up big time. But all I'm saying is I'm not saying they're not good players. But you compare them to other teams, and you look at the rosters and be like,
yeah,
Jesus, this team, they just keep getting it done.
You know who's knocking on the door, Van, of matching your team list, and he's only been in the league for like 8 years?
Let me guess. Is he a Saber?
Nope. Maybe there's another guy, but there's definitely one guy that I'm thinking of in my mind that has already played for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's on his 7th organization this year, and he is only, what was he? 29.
Okay. Is he in the playoffs right now?
Yes.
Does he play for Tampa Bay?
Don't fucking worry about what team he plays for. Just guess the player. No, he doesn't.
Duclair.
Nope.
That's guy I was going to say, Vanner.
Ooh,
well, you gave me Tampa, so it made it easy.
Hold on. Let's look up Duclair. So keep going.
Well, Duclair's been Rangers, Arizona, Florida, Tampa.
Ottawa,
San Jose. He's up there.
Jesus.
Who else? God, I'm usually good at this stuff, too. Blanking.
Give us a hint.
His father played in the NHL. Duclair's played for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's on his 8th team. He's 28.
Yeah. I see. Ribs, we found a better one than Petey has.
No, but wait a minute, though. There's
so he's in the playoffs, correct?
There's a technicality here. You played for one team twice. These guys haven't.
That's right. Well, Maroon's been around, but he's not 29. So that wouldn't make sense.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Petey, give us a hint.
No, we don't need a hint.
He's in the Eastern Conference. His father played in the league. He plays in the Eastern Conference.
Father played in the league.
Oh, Domi.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There you go.
Oh, good one. Good one, Banner.
I know. I'm good at this stuff. I like it.
Well, hey, man, records are at risk. It's like Gretzky watching Ovi. Who has that record for most trades? I think it was Mike Sillinger, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know about most trades, but most teams. Yeah.
Most teams. Yeah. Mike Sillinger, I'm pretty sure. Was it like 13 teams or something?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Sounds
riff?
Right.
Mike Sillinger? I think it was like 11 or 12.
12 or 13. I thought, yeah.
It's a lot of teams.
Yep.
No one's talking about the Rangers. I mean, you can say what you want about them playing Washington. But they're playing them hard.
They're playing them hard. It's not like it's.
But there's no danger. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's teams that are playing in the playoffs right now that I feel have that nervousness, anxiety, knowing that you're playing a team that could easily beat you on any given night. I feel like the Washington Capitals can win a game, but they cannot win a series against New York, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
They're just too strong in every sense. Like, goaltending is tops. Defense core are tops. They've got elite scoring. They've got, how about Matt Rempe? Like, do you hear the fans cheer when he's on the ice and he has the puck? Like, have
sure
you ever
do.
Seen, when's the last time you've seen a player like him that has garnered that interest and respect from the fans immediately? Like, he's a fan favorite already.
No, I was thinking of a player and I can't come up with anything, but I keep thinking of why this whole Rempe thing is so big. And I think it's so big because his first NHL game was at the outdoor game, and 2 seconds in, Matt Martin is like, "Hey, welcome to the league. I'll give you one," which, big props to Matt Martin, right?
Right.
But the kid's in this, you know, in the league for 2 seconds in a stage like that. So that's why he got noticed league-wide from day one. But you got to give him credit for how big he is. He actually moves around the ice pretty well. And I don't know how many minutes he plays. I don't think it's a whole ton, but he's been effective.
Do you see these players coming back into the game? Like, Lindy Ruff referenced role players, and I'm not saying fighters, Thomas. I'm saying, mm-hmm. you know, like Liam O'Brien yesterday was introduced in Utah, you know, led the league in penalty minutes. He's a, let's call him a heavyweight in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He said, you know, my name's Liam O'Brien. You can call me Spicy Tuna, and he's going to be a fan favorite there.
Absolutely.
Nick DeLaurier in Philadelphia. Ryan Reeves' value has gone up. Patrick Maroon is very involved in this series in Toronto and Boston. Like, every team seems to have someone. Shortly after Lindy was gone, New Jersey went and got Curtis McDermott.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I think the biggest difference is nowadays it's the value of those guys are definitely coming back, and it has a place in the game for it. But where are those guys coming from? Like, you watch junior hockey nowadays, and I do a lot of it because of working with the Sharks, so do a lot of scouting and this. There's not many guys like that playing at the lower levels. Like, it's there's still a few out there, but it's not what it was when we came up for the system where you had top two lines and then you had number three line and number four lines were true number three and four lines.
Yeah, there were tryouts for fighters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I'm saying it's there is value in them, but they become less and less because they're tough to find.
Well, I did a deep dive when I was bored one day, and I went through the entire American Hockey League looking for another Matt Rempe. No,
can I ask you a question? Was this in the tub?
It was not.
Did you use Facebook?
Don't even get me started, man. But I will say, I did a deep dive in the American Hockey League, went through every single team, every single player. And
I'm going to sit back here. It's going to take a while, Petey.
There's no Matt Rempe. There is no Matt Rempe. There are tough guys, but they seem to be guys that are, like, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s, where Matt Rempe is a young 21-year-old kid, naive, you know, can skate pretty well for a really big man, and he's willing, right? And now all of a sudden you have Matt Rempe, who's in the NHL, and not only is he in the NHL, he is a fan favorite. And I love watching him because he can skate. He hits everything in sight, scored a big goal in the first game there. I was just loving it. Fans were absolutely losing it. Man.
God, so you're telling us you wasted, that must have taken hours. You went for every player.
Yeah, whenever every player. But you know what? I'm going to do it again because maybe I missed somebody.
Well, maybe you did. But, like, for instance, let me just come back to Buffalo here for a second. It simply, when I speak of one player that we have given a shot to in this team, Brett Murray, Craig.
Yep.
Yeah. If he just had a set of stones and willingness to go and I know it's not easy. Trust me. I know it's not easy.
Yeah.
To go and do that. You got a 6'5", 230-pound guy that can skate and has skill.
Well, I have a couple too, but I can't share those because I'm going to keep those for my own organization.
Yeah.
And you know what? And you know what, Thomas? I'm going to tell you something. I want you to keep them for your own organization. Okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
Here's why. Because I want to see you have success. So.
Yeah. I'll text them to you.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Brett Murray, you know, had a pretty good season this year. 54 games played. He had 17 goals. And 32 points.
Yeah, had a really good season last year, too. He had 23 goals in 71 games, 49 points. He had really good season the year before that. He had 52 games, 32 points.
Yeah.
I don't need my guy to have points.
Go along with his 36 penalty minutes. So you can take the Brett Murray, thought.
But
and
it's
just
not a
like,
thought. But I'm telling you right now, all I'm saying to you is that's what is probably preventing him from being in the NHL.
No question. But
just saying.
Who's that on?
Well, someone maybe is afraid to tell him that.
Afraid to tell him? How does this guy not know? How does Brett Murray as a player not know? Not look up at the Sabres and go, okay, let me think about this here. How am I going to crack this lineup? Not be called up for two games, but how am I going to crack the lineup? What does this team need?
I don't follow him. I don't know much about him, but how does he have any fights in the minors?
He's 6'5". He's 230 pounds.
I've watched him play, but I don't.
He has had a fight. He fought. He came up here, and then he obviously listened to the show. We shredded him, said the same thing. Then he got in a big fight in the minors, beat somebody up. I don't know who.
But do you know
a fighter? He's not a fighter.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I want a guy that you don't have to tell to fight. I'm saying is the difference between Brett Murray, Matt Rempe, Patrick Maroon, Ryan Reeves, all these guys is simply a mindset. Simply a mindset. Because he is more skilled than all of them, maybe. He's a better hockey player than all of them. This guy's a really good hockey player.
You don't have to tell them to do it. That's the whole point.
That's the
these point. Guys. These guys are in the minors and they know their roles. Lindy said in his presser about roles, he's going to have guys that are going to be playing roles, and roles are going to be different. And I was like, oh my God, thank you for saying that, because we do need change.
Great stuff, Thomas. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Yep. Fun being back. See you guys.
Anything before he goes? Anything?
Nothing. I'm just super excited. I really am excited for Lindy. I think he's what this team needs currently right now. But there's a couple check mark that needs to happen. And I'm happy, and I'm hoping that Lindy Ruff can help build this roster for next year together, getting the right players in on this team.
His input on players is going to be crucial.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows everybody. He knows all the players and how they play.
Well, I didn't ask you for a closing statement. It was more like a final question for Thomas. But...
Oh my God.
Good luck shooting 90 today, Rips.
I'm going to tell you this. I feel very confident that I'm going to shoot the lights out today.
So what's lights out for you? Like an 85, 86?
90. Banner, one last thing before we go here. NFL football draft tonight. Who are the Bills taking?
Receiver. I don't know.
Receiver. Yeah. I like it.
I'm more worried about what
think they'll
what
trade
the
up. Think they'll trade up, Banner? Or do you think they're going to hold their 28?
I would not be surprised if they trade up. They need a receiver. And rookies in the NFL have shown they can be impact guys right away.
Right.
You lose Diggs, you got to replace them.
We got Shakir, bud.
So, hold on. I have a question for you. Dead serious. Didn't the Bills just trade for somebody? Justin Jefferson? Or is that bullshit? Who's that?
That's out of Pacho then.
Oh my God, what an idiot.
That's how much I know about football. What did I miss?
It's and the Sabres got McKinnon too.
Oh.
It's just they're announcing after the playoffs.
Yeah. So what you're saying is I got got?
Oh my God.
Hey, did I get Pauly Shore right there? I got got. Johnny Drama, you got got.
You got got.
What are you laughing at? Am I supposed to know who he is?
No. No, you're a tennis guy and Formula One guy. I don't blame you.
Hey.
See you, boys.
Go Bills.
That'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.